Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go, welcome to show number 2973.
Along with Steve the Thrill Hill.
The Ted Smith. Woo! Robin Fox. And my car. Iron Metro.
On tap today, here come the bad jokes, bitches. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Get ready to play profile this. Plus headlines, the men's room shot of the day, fumble listener emails, everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
Click, clack.
You're getting drunk.
All right, here we go. Another day, another mass shooting, this time in Pennsylvania, where three people are now dead. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, a four-year-old child grabs a gun in the backseat of his car and shoots mom in the head. 10-year-old proves Tom Brady is a cheater and wins a science fair. Florida top election official resigns after pick of Katrina party he wanted to share. And a beagle patrolling the Toronto airport promptly sits beside and points at a Russian traveler for a good reason. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, as you well know, airports across the Northeast, they continue to experience major delays because of staff shortages. But see, that's how they write the headline. But the truth is that airports don't suffer delays. The passengers do. And it's not just the Northeast. It's all across the country. And in some flights that do manage to take off on time, well, sometimes they get diverted. Like the flight from Honolulu to New York City that was diverted to San Francisco. Why was it diverted? Well, someone on the plane died. Specifically, a flight attendant.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Another group of passengers, they missed their flight because, according to American Airlines, they smelled bad. And other passengers were saying so. But it's not always planes where things go wrong. Earlier this week in Germany, passengers watched as another passenger threw their luggage onto the tracks while the train was moving. Last week, a couple of yokels, they got banned from a cruise ship after one of them jumped over 100 feet from the deck into the water for a stunt. I can go on and on. We have a Russian flight that had to make an emergency landing because some drunk dude wanted to hijack the plane. We had a group of passengers that sat on a frozen plane for 14 hours. We told you earlier this week about the family from England that was deported from New Zealand because they're just that messy, loud, and obnoxious. On and on it goes. Look, man, if you got to go to the airport, go to the train station, get on a cruise ship, take a road, it doesn't matter. The point is you are traveling, and the one thing you hope for are just safe travels. And a lot of times you get that safety, but it doesn't mean you don't have a lot of headaches. And that is what today's question is. What made your traveling experience suck?
Be a part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like The Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to The Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, but y'all's and away we go. Welcome to show number 2973. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Bad jokes on the way as Ryan Castle, the drunk in charge, will be in to kick off the bad jokes right before we drink and toast with the shot of the day. Steve and I were up to 345 last night, coming up with different kinds of tongue twisters to challenge Ted in Ted versus the FCC. We have a doozy for you this week.
Our best work.
What we think might be the
doozy, Judge.
Funniest. There's so many ways to slip on this one. It is unbelievable. We think you can do it. A brand new Ted versus the FCC coming up. Incidentally, if you want to play a little you versus the FCC in the meantime, just download the Men's Room app. You can play you versus the FCC on there.
Robin, about how many you versus the FCCs do you think you've entered in? Listen, we've been doing this for over 10 years, all right? So Robin was tasked with getting all of these into the app. And I know at one point you were halfway through.
I mean,
it's hundreds, right?
It's easily 150 off the top of my head. I'm just guessing. But yeah, there's a ton.
You're a ton more waiting.
You're hanging out with a bar with friends. You want to have a good time. What funnier thing to do than accidentally drop the N-bomb in a public place?
That's right.
Play you versus the FCC.
Well, depends who you are. For me, it's funny.
Exactly. Say the C word out loud. Get them all laughing.
Try it with grandma.
Exactly.
I'd rather drop the C word.
You versus the FCC there on the Men's Room. Ted versus the FCC.
I mean, it depends on the bar, but in general, I'd rather say
for you, yes.
Right, the C word.
Another round of profile this coming up. And by the way, as we do our show today here in the office, it looks that they're having a giant party. So a giant party will be going on while we're doing the show. So we'll see if we can.
I was asked earlier, hey, are you guys going to be at the party? I said, well, no. We'll be on the other side of the glass doing the show. Oh, I forgot. And apparently some of the security guards in the building will be
there. Coming up.
So everyone will be there.
So here's what's possibly going to happen. In the second hour of the show today, we might just start drinking. I mean, if they're going to throw a party, they've had flyers up. I was invited. They sent me an email invitation. Would you like to go? And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go. I don't care if we're on the air.
You know what we should have done? We should have called the boss, told them we're taking the day off, and then shown up here for the party.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Good times all around. It'll be a hell of a show.
I don't feel good.
I feel like I'm getting a cold. The flu.
Yes.
I've already pooped three times at work today.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Let's end it.
Damn.
I know. Let's just get the hell out of here.
We barely started. Let's just wrap it up.
Well, we're going to need to have this for a guaranteed future repeat. One of these days, we're probably going to want to be in Las Vegas or something. You know what I mean? Sitting by the pool, drinking some of those big Bud Lights in a metal can, enjoying ourselves.
Is there a pool at the place we're going?
It's aluminum.
Ted will be talking to ourselves. That's right. And Steve will be in the pool peeing right beside us along with Mike. So it's going to be a special time.
Mike's worse than me. I went away from you. Mike was peeing on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like Mike, but that was rude.
We need this Friday show so we can take that time off as we're headed down to Vegas here in a few weeks. All right, our question today, what made your traveling experience suck? Speaking of sucking, this is not the worst case scenario, but in a lot of ways it was. And I'll tell you about it, and it involved Las Vegas. A few years back, looking for something to do, we get some time off. Wife says, hey, why don't we go to Vegas for New Year's? That's something we've never done before.
Sure.
Three nights, four nights, why not? Let's go down there, see some shows. You know what I mean? Hang out, have a good time. We get down to Vegas, have an absolute blast.
What shows did you see?
Night one was Elton John.
All right, that had to be good, right?
Elton John was fantastic. If you ever get a chance, I've never seen Elton John before. Elton John was fantastic in concert. I don't know if he's still doing that residency or not. The great thing in my world of getting older is that when you go to a Vegas show, you're not going to go see Springsteen. You know, like, even if Elton John normally played for 2.5 hours,
yeah,
in his residency, he's cutting a crap. He's paying for, like, you know, an hour and 45.
Okay, that's about right. When you get old, you're like,
yeah,
cool.
So the shows are seemingly a little bit shorter, you know what I mean, which is not a bad thing. Elton John was great. I thought that was probably one of the best shows I'd seen. The next night, we go to Lionel Richie.
Oh.
Lionel Richie just absolutely.
Hello.
He killed it.
And I know that sounds.
He had the crowd in the palm of his hand. And the funny thing about this, which I didn't really realize was.
Did you still have a Jericho? Did you still don't have a solo?
Absolutely.
My man.
Stick
with what works for you.
This was the night before New Year's Eve.
All right.
And in the middle of the concert, Lionel comes out and he goes, hey, everybody. I just want you to know.
He doesn't sound like that.
That we're going to be on. Yeah, he really does. We're going to be on ABC's Rockin' New Year's Eve tomorrow night. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pretend that it's New Year's Eve because they're playing this back tomorrow night.
He tells you this.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to set you, because you don't even
and
know.
And what do you have to do? I mean,
I'll tell you what's going to happen, all right? So you don't know what's going to happen. He says, okay, everybody, they're going to act like we're going to throw a live feed. We're in Vegas. It's New Year's Eve. You guys lose your mind, right?
All right.
3, 2, 1, go. Poof. All this confetti, all this crap just starts falling from the sky. No idea. Like, and he starts dancing on the ceiling, man. And it's, you know, everybody's losing their goddamn mind. And we tape that thing, you know, and the night ends. The next night was actually New Year's Eve.
Did you watch yourself?
No, because I was out seeing Bruno Mars, which is was a great
damn
film. Yeah, it was a great three nights, right? Three great
That's
concerts.
Awesome.
It was, I mean, Lionel
is
Richie
it cheaper
was,
to get tickets? I got to think Bruno Mars and
Bruno Mars is $150 for New Year's Eve. What I mean, like, okay, all things considered, how much money you spend on New Year's Eve? I thought that was fine.
Like, I
normally
like
don't do
Mars.
Anything on New Year's Eve, so like, you know
yeah,
what I mean.
But
you get a ticket someplace, it's $50. You know what I mean? $100,
right? Just to be there, beer.
I'm like, hell, man! All right, let's do it. I think Lionel Richie was like $50 or $75.
That's about
it. Was
right.
Cheaper than going to see the Beatles Love and all that other crap shows they had.
And it's not even the Beatles.
No, Elton John was like $50. It wasn't expensive. You know what I mean?
No Thunder Down Under.
They're like $50. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was no different than the
you
price of all the shows. Absolutely. I go every year. So anyway, New Year's Day comes around.
It's funny. I would never spend $150 to go see a show in Vegas, but I'll spend $300 at the Spearmint Rhino in like 20 minutes.
Sure.
Right.
Hell, I'd spend $100 just to see the Black Knights play. Black Knights?
Golden Knights.
Golden Knights, right. Whatever.
Black Knight, I believe, is
Martin
a
Lawrence.
Film starring Martin Lawrence.
All right, okay, my bad. From Camelot days.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right.
Martin Lawrence was,
yeah, I forget.
Period pieces.
Okay,
yes.
So, but I go see that for $100. Anyway, so we get up on New Year's Day. It's time to fly out, and lo and behold, temperatures in Seattle they had dropped on the overnight,
mm-hmm.
and they were below 30 degrees. And something happened with my airline. Where they shut down basically the entire airport based on the fact that the hub was in Seattle of this airline, and we couldn't get
Wait,
home.
They shut down SeaTac Airport
they
or Vegas
They shut down
airport.
Most of the flight. No, Vegas was fine. You couldn't get into Seattle because they had a little bit of a ice and a little bit of a snowstorm, you see.
All right.
Even though my plane had an Eskimo on the tail, these 3 inches, and I'm not kidding you, these 3 inches of snow halted my travel plans. Now, okay, at first thought, I'm like, you know what? This is the best case scenario because I am in Las Vegas. So if there's any place to get stranded or stuck,
right.
This is the place to be. I mean,
sure.
This is it. What I did not realize was that the service industry itself worked completely through the December holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's Eve. They don't get days off, period. They start celebrating their holiday on January the 1st,
okay,
when everyone is gone. Vegas shuts the F down completely January 1st. Because
really?
This is when people finally get a break. Penn and Teller aren't there. Like, there's not even a juggler to be found. Like, you can't get a guy doing a card trick. You know what I mean? Like, nobody. It is a ghost town, which is weird. You're walking around. There's nothing happening. And it's so strange. Like, there's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. You could go to dinner.
How long were you stuck there?
Two more days.
2 days?
2 more days. Which was painful.
That's not
Did
a
you have
delay.
An indoor pool?
No. And it's like being in, it was an outdoor pool and the pool was closed. It's like being in Disneyland, but all the rides are broken.
Right. So you're there.
You know what I mean? You can walk around and get a burger or something, but other than that, like you can't do
so
anything.
So what do you do for 2 goddamn days with
gamble
nothing to
and
do?
Drink?
You lose your mind. Yeah, you lose all your money. You
right.
know what I mean? You just, you know, you smoke too many cigarettes, you drink too many beers. You don't do anything. There's nothing you can do.
You're at a sports book betting it all on the Weed Eater Bowl.
Right, exactly. It's just a bunch. But, you know, it's as wonderful as that sounds. It sucked.
Well, it ends up kind of. Well, it's the thing. It kind of ruins the goddamn trip.
It really did.
That's the whole point. You had a good taste in your mouth, and then you got crap for 2 days.
2 days.
For 3 inches of snow.
And you'd think if you got stuck anywhere, just the wrong place at the wrong time. So it was, I mean, literally, I was losing my goddamn mind. And then the snow melted, the 3 inches melted, and then the Eskimo plane could land where the snow used to be.
Given the name of that airline, you would think, and I know it's not the airline, it's the airport.
It's
airport,
right, exactly.
It's 3 inches of snow. You could round up all the neighborhood kids that offer to shovel driveways, but 100 of them out there, they can get your runways work.
Sure, sure.
I mean, sometimes 3 inches can be very powerful.
Well, it was. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous.
That snow was wide.
You guys ever have a terrible experience?
Oh, my God. Which one do you want?
I had a mini stroke on a plane. That sucked.
Well, that was you.
Yes.
You diverted the plane.
They didn't divert.
They did not divert.
No, they took the hell off, and we landed in Iceland. I'm trying to get medical help there, and the dude who looks like Rudolph Hess would not help. That was a miserable flight. We'll go through it. Most recently...
Hold on. What? But didn't you, like, the way that you described this to me, and I never really thought of it that well, just all the way through, but it seems to me that Iceland, the country itself, or maybe just the officials or whatever was going on, not very familiar with black culture or black people.
Yeah, this dude, as soon as we looked at each other, because the flight attendant's like, this man needs medical help. And when the guy, he was kind of busy, but when he turned around and looked at me, and I always remember what this guy looks like, but just... It was no. From the jump, they didn't even say what was wrong. Just no. No, they're trying to explain. No. So they put me back on another flight and flew my ass back to the States. All right. And then I found out I'd had, I can't remember the name of it. It's like a mini stroke. It was horrible. I cannot explain it, where you're trying to speak to someone and you know the words you're trying to say, but you're saying any words other than that. So okay. People are going, man, are you all right? I'm inflecting, right? I'm like, well, the hamburger ate the grasshopper the other night when I saw dragons. And, like, I didn't mean to say that, but that's what comes out of your mouth. And it's like that for hours, agonizing pain. Then I start getting sick. And if you fly into Iceland just the way it's a small place, small airport, you go in at a huge decline, right? So at this point, buckle your seatbelts, we're descending, and I know I have to puke. Right? And this has been a miserable, miserable 5 hours for me anyway. So I remember I undo my seatbelt and I'm running up the plane to get to the bathroom in the back. But because of the way they're going in and all the G, like you're running in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flight attendants, two of them are chasing me, but they're behind me in slow motion. There's no way, you know, and it's
too much inertia against you.
It's just weird. But I get into the bathroom and I always remember I landed in Iceland with my face smashing off the toilet and bouncing around, shooting puke everywhere. So by the time the plane actually comes to a stop, and the flight attendants opened the door, like, I'm covered in puke. There's puke all over the bathroom. And they understood.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember when we landed, my head bounces off the toilet, ricochets off the back. And it was, so you show up in that condition. Nah.
And what did the people in Iceland do when you got there?
The only person I dealt with was the Rudolph Hess-looking guy, because they took me away from normal passengers because they weren't covered in vomit or having a stroke. So I only deal with that guy, and they could get me on a plane in about an hour, but I mean, he just no. Then I tried to appeal to him, like, hey, man, listen, I don't know what's going on. Like, this hasn't happened before. No, want to be gone. Mm-hmm. So they put me on a flight. The nice thing about the second leg of that flight, so word obviously had gone forward to the next crew, and I look like crap, so I got a free T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Iceland Air T-shirt, and they gave me a whole row in the back.
All by yourself.
Oh, I didn't have to buckle in. They lifted the armrest, man, threw a blanket over me.
Oh, cool.
And pretty much slept until I got to New York.
Were they just like, don't die?
That was the hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they would check on me, and it's like, just, I didn't think I was going to die. I just wanted to be dead because of the amount of pain I was in. But it's like, leave me alone. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. We land. I remember my father's there to pick me up from the airport. Still puke all over my legs. He assumed, of course, I've been drinking, which is fair. He's just like, what the hell? I'm like, I need to go to the hospital.
And you would never say that.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know,
yeah, most people would. Dude,
like, I didn't know what was going on. It was crazy. And the thing that bugged me most, aside from the pain, was just the words, man. It didn't matter who asked me what. I was not saying anything. Sir, would you like a glass of water? Dog poop. Like, God damn it, I meant to say yes. You know what I mean? Like, so you sound crazy. And I can't explain it. Like, just words came out of your mouth if you had to speak, but it was not the words you wanted to say, and it wasn't anything coherent.
You seem to have had more than one medical emergency on a flight, or was it just the one
time? Not me. Like, I've been flying. I was flying from Chicago to Seattle, and we had to stop in Billings, Montana, because somebody died on the flight. Once I was flying a direct flight from D.C. to Seattle, and we had to divert to Chicago, because somebody, kind of like Thrill, had a real medical emergency. Mm-hmm. It was just puking.
No, not like me. They didn't divert nothing.
Right.
Nope.
The last time I was on a plane, it didn't ruin the trip, but we took off a little later than we should have. We were just taxiing away. They started doing the flight attendants, doing the safety demonstration. They got to the seatbelts. They all kind of look at each other. Then they huddled up. And then,
ladies and gentlemen, we have to taxi back to the gate because of a biohazard.
I looked at the dude next to me and said, somebody S themselves. Mm-hmm. And this dude kept laughing. I said, I'm not joking. Biohazard means that somebody S themselves. It was someone in first class So instead of booting them off the plane, they brought the crew in. They cleaned it up. Man, it took like 30 minutes. But they S'd themselves so bad and went through their clothes into the material of the seat. Yeah, the clean. And I'm like, and then the smell's hitting us in the back. And I'm like, I told you somebody S'd themselves.
That's a first class
poop story, though.
I was going to say, and like when that person died on the one flight, it's just like.
Did you know they were dead before you landed?
No, it was awful. It was one of those things where, like, if you fly enough, you can tell when the brakes come on, right?
Sure.
But you also know how long the flight is. So, like, the air brakes come on, and the guy next to me, you ever seen A Christmas Story when they're in line to meet Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid behind him is just weird, and he's like, I'm here to see Santa Claus. So imagine that guy's grown up. So I haven't said a word to him the whole flight, and then I go, that's not right. And he's like, oh, we must be getting there. And I go, that ain't right. And we haven't been on this plane long enough. So they go, hey, we have a medical emergency. We need to stop in Montana. So at this point, we're like, all right, mate, what's going on? But then an ambulance, as soon as we land, an ambulance comes racing out. Everybody huddles up on thing. And then about 10 minutes later, with no lights on or sirens, it just kind of drove off.
Ew.
So that's when we're like,
oh, there's no hurry.
Right. And then one of the scarier things is the pilot gets on and goes, like hey, somehow we're a little heavier than when we took off. Right? So he's like, we got to check something, blah, blah, hey, I got to go.
Jesus.
So you're sitting there again. By the way, Billings, Montana's airport at this time, I mean, it's like 11 o'clock at night. It is closed up. So then he hops back on and goes, do we have any mechanics on board?
Oh, like, no.
What the?
Are you in the air?
No. We're just sitting at the airport.
Right. I work at the Volvo dealer.
Right. So basically, and then he hops back on like a third time and it's like, hey, man, there's just this weird thing. Not like that, but he's like, oh, it's just a weird thing. We just need a mechanic to sign off, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay.
So even
if you were a mechanic, you're like, yeah, man, but like I work on cars.
Yeah.
I'll take a look. I'll do the. It's like
777 check.
I'll do what I can. You know, one thing that has changed, all right? So years ago, and the plane did not crash, but you're on the plane, and like anything, the pilot pops on and tells the passengers, ladies and gentlemen, due to a full airport, we're going to circle around until we get to go ahead to land. That's not unusual. No one gives it a thought. But the TVs and those headrests, you could still watch them that close to landing time.
Yeah.
So then CNN breaks in with this report. And people on the plane realize, as the ticker's going across the bottom, like, there was something wrong with the plane. They're about to run out of fuel. This thing might crash. People piece together that the plane they're talking about is the one they're on.
Right? Yeah, that was that JetBlue flight. I think there was something wrong with the landing gear. And that's one of the things about JetBlue. You could watch TV.
But now they tell you to turn it off at a certain point. And that was part of the motivation, because people are going, wait a minute, man. We're going to die.
Our question, what made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA. More your calls on the way. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
23-year-old guy is in college in France, and last week his parents were flying in to visit him. For whatever reason, he really didn't want him to come, so he called their airline and said there was a bomb on their flight.
Jesus.
The flight was diverted back to the airport, and all the passengers, including the guy's parents, had to get off until the police could sweep for the bomb. Anyway, they tracked the bomb threat back to the guy, and he was arrested. He's facing up to an $85,000 fine and 5 years in prison. There is no word on whether his parents eventually managed to visit him.
I bet you he'll want them to visit him in jail.
Mm-hmm. Our question, what made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
I got to try something new with you guys.
Oh, good.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
That's not new.
That is not new. God damn it, that is
what, did you just wake up from a 20-year coma?
What's up, guys? Hola.
You know what? I got to say, I met the What's Up guys once when I was bartending. How many years ago was that? I was 19. Yeah. So I'm 38.
Mm-hmm. 20 years.
But I will say, I was super excited to meet the What's Up guys.
At the time? Well, okay. Now, did you say What's Up, and were they happy to hear it? Or were they kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like three dudes that randomly, like, either were like comedians or something. They were milking it for all it's worth. They were like standing on the bar, just, and people were like, yeah, come stay with that. You know what, sir? I'm glad you said it. It's not new, but I love that damn joke.
That's awesome. Well, I got to tell you, my travel story, I was going to tell you about a near plane crash, but I think I got one that tops that. So I was a charter driver. I drove a 27-seat bus that from coast to coast. So out of Seattle, they'd fly me to, like, New York, and I'd drive a bus from New York all the way to, like, San Francisco, and we'd stop at national parks along the way. And there was this little trailer that we had connected to the back of the bus so we could camp at different spots throughout the U.S. So they flew me out to Frisco, and I picked up the bus, and we stopped in Lake Tahoe. And we're getting all the camp gear out, and I told my tour guide, I'm like, hey, tonight I think we should lock up all the food and stuff because, you know, they say there's bears out here.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And the tour guide rolls her eyes, and she goes, oh, my God, there's no such, it's all a mess.
I'm that like, bears sure will that? Eat your food.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't stretch the imagination to think that a bear might eat your food based on the number of stories and videos.
That's why every trash can outside looks like a bank vault.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm from Vegas, and I was kind of new to this gig. So I'm like, okay, I'll go with my tour guide. She must know what she's talking about. Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, I start hearing this cracking sound and all kinds of banging noises. And I'm like, one of our campers is probably drunk, so I opened the trailer door because I was sleeping in the trailer where the food's supposed to be, and I hit my flashlight on, and this bear stood up. I was literally like 10 feet away from it, and this thing was massive.
How tall do you think it was?
Oh, man, it must have been 10, 12 feet tall.
So you didn't run up and give him a big hug?
I did not give him a what's that? That's for sure.
What's that?
I'm a big old bear hug. Get in here. Come on.
So what do you do when you have a flashlight on a bear that's not looking back at you?
I instantly go, oh, my. I said some other words, but we can't say that on the radio. And I hear the zipper of the tour guide's tent. And I'm like, you might want to stay in your tent. She's like, why? And I say, because there is a massive bear standing right next to your tent. Screamed so loud, it scared the bear. I mean, it jumped about 10 feet in the air and ran away.
Well, she saved the day in the end, I guess.
You should also let her know she has a very shrill voice. Hey, did you?
It was unreal.
Did you enjoy that job?
You know, I did because, you know, I saw a lot of cool places. You know, we'd stay at all the major national parks from Yosemite. You know, we went even deep into Canada on a trip out of New York.
Who was the scariest passenger you had? I mean, there had to be someone where you're like, man, I'm keeping my eye on this guy. He's a cannibal.
Oh, constantly. Well, you know, I drove for Metro, too, for 10 years. So,
Know everyone on the bus is crazy. That almost makes it okay.
I've had you guys on my bus before, so.
So, you know.
We've been on your bus?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you've been on my bus. If you've taken Metro, you've been on my bus.
Okay. All right.
But I'll tell you, yeah, the buses that we drove, we had mainly a lot of students.
I was
going like
to say.
That.
Okay.
That's kind of what I saw when I was in Canada.
It was just big-ass tour buses, man, taking everybody
you
wanted to go. Yeah, I know. Like, you'd be sitting there, like, 7 tour buses, probably like, we better eat now before they all come in. Right. Hurry up. Come on. Use the bathroom.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.